God is good, and all the time, awesome. I kind of didn't want to come up here because I felt like we already hit the climax of the service today with that song, and I've just been blessed through our worship team and what you've been able to just take us through with worship, so thank you so much for those songs of praise. Thank you. That was a beautiful prayer. Thank you for sharing that with us today. And just everybody who's taken part in our service today, and the band, you guys always think you're forgotten because you're hidden behind, but remember, you're part of it, and I love the build-up of that. That was awesome, so thank you so much, band. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we will continue. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, what a powerful name you have. And we are privileged and grateful to be able to be in your presence today. We thank you that you are our God. And we thank you that we get to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in my teen years and I was looking for a job. And so I thought, oh, I'll try all the different retail jobs. I didn't want to try Kentucky because I thought my family would always ask me if there was any free food that I could bring home. So I thought I'd avoid any sort of takeaway place to find a job. And so the next thing that I was actually looking at was basketball because I love basketball. And so I thought, what could I do with basketball? I know I'm not going to be an NBL or NBA, you know, all of that. So what can I do to be able to get a job? And so in my young teen years, I ended up going to our local basketball stadium, Frankston Stadium. And I went in and I said to the person, hey, where can I sign up to be a basketball ref? So started the challenge of learning the actual rules of basketball. Now, the interesting thing is when you play basketball, you think you already know the rules. So I'll tell you this now, for those of you who play basketball and are referees, the worst players are the referees. Very true. But as I was training and learning the rules of basketball and all the ins and outs, asking all the different questions, went through the course. Now came the time where my training had to then become practical. And so I was assigned a mentor by the name of Peter. Now, Peter was this old man, had hair that kind of stuck up. So every time I kind of see someone with that kind of similar look, I always think, oh, that's Peter. Oh, no, it's not Peter. But I remember being really, really scared because I wasn't sure what to expect when going in and having Peter as my mentor to teach me all the ins and outs of basketball refereeing. And as I started our first game, he said to me, Wendy, what I want you to do is I just want you to follow me. Don't make any calls. Do not do anything. Just follow me. And so that's all I had to do. One job. Follow him. Do you think I followed him? No, I did sometimes. I did sometimes. You've got to give me credit. But I did follow him sometimes, but there were other times where I thought that I knew better. So there was many, many times where he would say to me, Wendy, you have to stand here because you need to make sure that all the players are in this vision that you have. So if anything happens, you can make that call. And so I thought at different times he was standing in the position that he was standing in. But I thought maybe I could stand over here because that was a better position. But he would always say, Wendy. He would always do that, Wendy, Wendy. So in I would come close to Peter. And so that happened for a period of time. And then later he then gave me the opportunity to blow the whistle. Now that was really scary because now he was saying to me, I'll give you an opportunity to make some calls and so whatever you see, blow the whistle. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to give it a go. So there was a game, and it was a game of grown men. And so I thought, oh my gosh, this is really scary, because what happens if I make the wrong call? I know that I'm going to cop it. And so as I'm running next to Peter, and he's still guiding me, but he's now tasked me with the task of making the calls and blowing my whistle. I remember there was, you know, this particular game, I was standing in this position. Peter is usually always standing in the correct position, but I thought, no, I'll stand here because I reckon I could see better than Peter. And so as I'm looking at the basketball court, all I hear is yelling, and then the ball heads in the other direction. And as we're running and I'm following, Peter says to me, did you see that? And I said to him, what are you talking about? He said, did you see that? And I said, no, I didn't see anything. He said, okay, keep coming. So I followed him, and then I continued to make call after call after call. At the end of the different games that he would have me ref, we would always have a debrief. And the debrief was, Wendy, did you see that call? Or did you see the call? Wendy, did you see what happened on the call? And I would either say yes or no. And then he would say to me, why didn't you see it? And I'd say to him, well, I was standing over here. I thought I could see the court better. And he said to me, part of the reason why I have you following me is because you may think that you can see the court better, but the years of experience that I have places me in a better position to be able to see the court. That's why I'm sharing this with you. And what I loved about what Peter did was, the whole time that I was training to be a basketball referee, it was really, really scary for me, because I was afraid of making what? I was afraid of constantly making mistakes. I thought, I got to get this right. I got to stand in the right position. I have to make sure that I make the right call. So the fear of trying to be a perfect ref was so scary that it actually stopped me from being able to genuinely be engaged in what it was that Peter was trying to teach me. And over the years, it wasn't just 1, 2, 3 years, Peter continued through his grace, through his love, to continue mentoring me as a basketball ref. And one of the things that I have appreciated about Peter is that type of training did not come for me inside the church. It came outside. God's love for me was experienced outside the church. And to this very day, Peter is someone that I continue to look to when it comes to mentoring. And why am I sharing this with our church today? Because I don't want our church to get caught up in having our young people be able to go out and find mentors when you are more than capable of being our young people's mentors. Amen? My commissioning is today. I say it's my commissioning, but I'm still hesitant in saying it's my commissioning. Because in every single step of the way, as a minister, I have not been isolated in achieving that accomplishment on my own. When I look around, there's some new faces here. My parents have been part of that mentoring for me. With their ups and their downs, that's what they have done. There are people in here that have been part of that mentoring process when I was in a place called Karawa, an Aboriginal school. Really, really difficult. And thus sitting in the audience, they mentored me. And then I have my aunties, my uncles. They have been integral in mentoring me. I have church family who have been here, well, in my life for a long time. They have been integral in mentoring me. There are people in our Wantirna church you don't realize, but when I interact with you, you impact me in such a major way. And I am so grateful for that. So why do I share this with you? Mentoring is not an isolated event, nor is it an isolated action. Our young people, our older people, people of all ages are needing to be mentored. But for many, they are going outside to be mentored rather than finding it in the space that they can find it in. If I was to ask our church today, who are you mentoring? Church, who are you mentoring? This is not anything new, because one of the challenges that we have as a church, this is just speaking and sharing, is that when it comes to this type of ministry, there is a gap. But it's not just the young people that are longing to be mentored. It's the older people that are longing to be mentored. It's the middle age that are longing to be mentored. Everyone is longing to be mentored. Everyone has a mentor around them. So here's something that I'm going to do a little bit differently. Which may hopefully kind of kickstart something. Has anyone heard of a place called a library? Anyone heard of a place called a library? Yes, I think, Adrian, you're the only one who knows of a place called a library, because no one is there. Does everyone know what a library is? Okay. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you know what a human library is? Do you know what a human library is? In this church right now, we have potential mentors who have the capacity to impact and influence lives. Keyshaw knows all about libraries. He's got lots of things that he could tell you about libraries. And so, church, you might have thought, oh, I'm going to come today, I'm going to sit down, but we're going to do a human library experiment. How does that sound? Sound good? A human library experiment. You ready for this? So what that means is, and those online, find somebody, okay? So what this means is, for our young people, you're going to cross over this thing called a middle bridge. It's invisible, but I think it's there somewhere. So you're going to cross over and just see if you can find out five things about someone that you don't know. See if you find something that is in common, that you have in common with them. And then over here, this is the young at heart. Okay, you're going to cross over the other bridge and get to know some other people. There's a lot of new faces here today. And so we're going to experiment by trying to see if you're going to actually find some pretty cool information about the resources within our church called this Wantirna Human Library. You ready, church, to give it a go? Oh, church. You ready to give it a go? And here's the thing. Some of you may say, yes. And some of you are like, yes. Okay, that's okay, because here's the thing. I want you to be authentic about sharing that in your experience. Let's see. Let's give it a go. Church family, human library, go. Crossover. 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 Find someone you haven't, you don't know, you've never met. Okay, we've got some over here. Got some at the back there that are sitting there. Young people, if you can find some others on this side, please. Young people over on this side. Find some people here. Young people, you can come over here, cross over that way. Joel, go that way. Young people, over this way. Over this way. Come down here. Here we go, right here. Keep coming down. Boys, come to the front. Come. Boys. Come over here. All right. Okay, human library. Want to turn a human library? Wantirna Human Library, just quiet, just for 1 second. Wantirna Human Library, church family, shh. Don't sit. Stay where you are. Now what I want you to do is I want you to share with those that you're sitting with or standing or whatever it is, who has been your best mentor and why? Or it might be more than one, but I want you to share who has been your best mentor that you can think of and why. All right, one more minute, Human Library, one more minute, and then we'll take our seats. sometimes the biggest challenge that many of us have when it comes to mentoring is just the ability to say hello or to just cross over. And what happened here goes to show that many bridges were crossed today, whether it be culturally, whether it be generationally. And what you find is that this human library that is before your very eyes is a beautiful human library that has experiences, that has worth, that has value, that has so much to offer that when you get to a particular age, many times you think that you are forgotten, but you are not. And if there was anything that you needed to know today, you are now being validated that you, uniquely you and your story, have something to share with everybody. And when we share these types of stories, then the interaction and the exchange becomes less on the surface, and now we're starting to get deeper. And as you explore and you explore, it gets deeper and deeper. Even more so that when you start to see the deepness in that, there's only one typical type of relation that really encompasses all of that. And that is Christ. The depth of what he has been able to do and what he will continue to do is beyond amazing. And so being a mentor doesn't mean that you have to have it all together. Some people are looking for prescriptions. No, just be you. Just be who God created you to be, and with the mistakes, with the warts and all, grow in that. Because as you mentor, you are being mentored by God himself. Amen? So we're all a work in progress. So therefore, becoming a mentor in our church space, with our younger people, with our older, young in heart. Sorry, let me rephrase that. You each have the potential to provide something amazing. And I love the concept of the village, because every single person, no matter what age you are, young or old, has something to contribute to the discussion. And so, church family, if you know that your God loves you and has mentored you and is continuing to mentor you, you can speak to that experience and you can also share that with someone else. That was amazing. I feel like everybody's relaxed now, like they just want to keep talking. That's how beautiful the interactions can be when you allow yourself to cross the what and say a simple hello. It's like my nephew Tony. Hello, how are you? So simple. Babes just have it coming out so easily. But yet, so beautiful. So church family, just know that you have something to say, that you have something to offer, because Christ did it all. And it is because of him and his crossing into this world that allows us an example of who it is that's giving us advice to train us as mentors. Therefore, we should be able to cross over. Mentoring is beautiful because it's God working through the brokenness within this broken world to create something so beautiful. And that's why God is good all the time.